you know, what can I say about this? Oh, then my son went to a public high school, Great Neck South, and my daughter went to a Catholic high school, St. Mary's, which is in Manhasset. And from there, she went to Fordham College and then Fordham Law School, and he went to St. John's University.
Mm-hmm. And what about the use of the languages in the family, in your family?
English.
English at all? Only English.
Peter and I spoke Italian too. It's not that they never heard Italian, but we didn't make it a big point of saying to the children, you should learn Italian. Maybe we should have. Well, my daughter knows it now since she lives there, but my son understands, but he doesn't really speak it. Yeah. So we should have done
that. What about the choice of your daughter to live in Italy?
That was her choice. We used to travel quite a bit with the children as well, and we had been to Rome a number of times. She loved Rome, and after she graduated law school, she did have a position here in Connecticut, and then got tired of that type of law. It was a civil law.
Mm-hmm.
She got tired of that, and whatever put that in her mind, I don't know, because it wasn't that she knew anyone from there that she was going to, no, but she decided to. Peter was not crazy about the idea, and I have to admit that I wasn't either, but I said to him, Peter, she's going to go no matter what. So, you know, she's a big girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's her decision. And so she did go. And she worked there a couple of years before she actually met her husband and got married.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. She's been there ever since.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's kind of difficult for me to know exactly what went on in his childhood. He had a good childhood. He went to school in the area at that time, around the Fisanco, wherever it was, the school. And he and his brother both. From there, I just have to say, you know, he was growing up, he was a teenager. The World War came around, World War II, and the American government was willing to bring him to the States. But evidently, his mother found it difficult to lose her children right then and there. So they stayed with her. She had buried their passports or birth certificates showing that they were American citizens under the garden in the back so that the Germans would not find it. Now, one thing that she was fortunate is that her family, I think I mentioned it, had lived in Germany for a number of years, mm-hmm. so she knew how to speak German. And at one time, there was always a problem with the Italian group that was undercover. Partigiani, yes. And any time something happened to a German soldier in that area, they would come right through. And one time, Peter and a friend of his, they heard that the Germans were coming, and they hid underneath wood pilings, the way they piled them at one time. I don't know how you describe it, but one against the other in a long row. And they hid under there, and the Germans didn't find them. They took some of the other young boys, but not them. So he was very fortunate that time. Another time, somebody in the Partigiana got wounded, and they needed medicine, but they could not, of course, go into town in Maniago mm-hmm. to the pharmacist. So they asked Peter to go down for him, mm-hmm. for them, which, of course, he should never have done anyway. He was only a young teenager. And he did go down, and as he was going to come out, I don't know how they knew that he had something with him, whatever, because they would stop at this security area where you could not pass through unless you show them everything you had. His mother heard, because word got around so fast, his mother heard that he was down, he was being held by the Germans. She scooted right down on her bicycle, and she spoke to them in German and convinced them that no way was her son any, you know. And of course, once she spoke German, that was it, and he got away with that. His mother was a little annoyed, but and the others kind of took advantage of him in a sense that he could have gotten caught and something could have happened to him. But those are about it, what he you know, came to other adventures or whatever, or experiences. I don't know. Peter did not unfold himself totally about everything that went on in his life. Mm-hmm. So, it's hard to say.
So, this is the life Peter left. And what did he find in USA, actually, in the first time?
Well, there were relatives here, as I mentioned, on his mother's...
He lived where, in New York with an uncle?
No, he lived in New York with an aunt.
Aunt.
Who was his mother's sister.
Yeah.
Okay?
Nice, Mario's.
Mother's sister. Of course, his father's one that had more of them, but they lived away in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, that area. Okay?
Of the family of the father
of
in
the
Bridgeville.
Father, Bridgeville and around that area, yes.
But firstly... Yes.
He came to New York, and he stayed with his aunt, mother's side. And then, you know, from there, it was going to... I mean, I didn't know him then, so I'm not quite sure what went on.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, being in college, and then coming out, and then... college meeting in Queens, in New York, and then being taken into the army and drafted and sent to Korea. So before that, when he first came,
it's strange for a guy from Italy to fight for United States in Korea. Do you think
he didn't volunteer? He was drafted. The draft was on at that time, so. If he ran, you know, he would be a draft dodger, and if they caught him, put him in jail. No, he had to go. There was no two ways about that.
And what about that experience in Korea? The days were...
He told me very little about experiences in Korea. He told me one about being on the hill with his group overseeing one section of Korea, wherever that was, and then being relieved by another group, and as soon as he, Peter, and those who were with him went back to camp, the Koreans blew up that very hill that he and the others had been on just a few minutes before. So he's very fortunate in that. And then he did find a little let's say feelings about the fact that he had, he was made sergeant at one point, and he still had, of course, an accent. He spoke English, but he had an accent. And there was one person there in his group that was not crazy about that and kind of threatened him, but that got over with, and that was it. The only other thing I was ever aware of is that one time, which related to Korea, is that one time when he and I were with my brother and sister-in-law who live in California. My brother liked to go target shooting at the target ranges. So he said to us one morning, he said, let's go and, you know, we'll do some target shooting. And we didn't say anything. But when we got there, and my brother and his wife got out of the car, Peter got out, and he said, Tony, I can't do it. I realized right away he would never be able to pick up a gun again. Whatever happened there was still entrenched in his memory, and that was it. And that's, again, relating to Korea. So it left him, I don't know how to say, how depressed he was, I don't know. But I think whatever was, little by little, got over. But certain things, I think, stayed in his mind.
And then in the 50s... you got married. Did you ever speak about a life in Friuli or in Italy?
You mean before we got married?
Before and...
well, of course, before I knew that his mom lived there and his dad worked there and worked here and lived there too. But he was just, let's say, not that he spoke to me as far as like a personal matter, as if I should know about this and that. He spoke about Friuli in general, Frisanco in general, the sites, the areas. This is what he spoke about.
But not to be back there.
To go back?
Yeah.
No.
No, ever.
No.
You didn't. You didn't speak
about it.
No.
No, we would never go back.
No.
It doesn't make sense because no matter what, as close as you are, it's a small town. What will you do as far as, you know, professionally and all that? Peter was doing fine here. And then when the children were going to kindergarten, when both of them actually were in school, because I had not finished getting my college degree, so I went back to college, staying the hours when the children were in school. So I would be back before they got back from school, until they were there all day, and then I could go right through. So I got my college degree, my BS, and no, MA, BA, and then I went for my master's, my Master of Sciences, and I got all that out, and I taught for 25 years. So, that's so I threw myself into.
Obviously, because you lived together for, from 55
to 2000,
45 years.
45, exactly. Yeah. We celebrate our 45 years. All right, I'll say in conclusion, okay? In conclusion, Peter Bissett was a very, very outstanding individual. He was intelligent. He had warmth for people. He had a lot of empathy. He was always willing to help. And he never, never made the derogatory remarks, not even to me, about anyone that we socialized with or whatever. He was always very good. There is not one person in that club that can say, in the Femme Fulana Club, that can say that it was anything but a wonderful person. And they still speak of him today and still miss him. He was a good husband, too. Very good. There were always ups and downs, as with any other group of marriage. But he was really good. He was a wonderful, understanding person. And I guess the one thing maybe that he realized, because he suffered for 8 years. He got cancer in 92. That's when they diagnosed his cancer in 92. And yet with all of the radiation and the other testing that was done, everything, every time we were out, we were in the doctor's office or clinic getting this type of work done, he would just get right up and out. Never, never complained. Never stopped living his life. And never had me stop living mine. We still did everything together. And we still traveled. It just became quite bad in 2000. And we had heard that there was a clinic in Friuli that dealt with new types of treatments for cancer.
Yeah, in Aviano.
Near Aviano. Yes. Yeah. And we went there, and unfortunately, they wouldn't even touch him. They said that it was too late. But I think the one thing that Peter did want was to be in Frisanco when he was no longer, you know, around, when he had no more life. And that's where he is. And I go every year to bring him flowers. So that's the story of my life. Oh, yes.